Hi, I'm Bridget Murtaugh, a program manager on the .NET team here at Microsoft. Welcome back to .NET for Apache Spark 101, where we go over the exciting role of big data analytics within the .NET ecosystem. In this video, we're going to deploy a .NET for Apache Spark app to Azure Databricks. First, let's start off by discussing what it means to run or deploy an app locally versus in the cloud. If you saw one of the earlier videos in this series, you saw that in order to get started with .NET for Apache Spark on our own machine, we had to do certain downloads and dependencies, like we needed to install Java and set up some environment variables and set some paths. But if we want to run our .NET for Apache Spark app in the cloud, all we need to worry about is that all of our dependencies and app files are uploaded somewhere to Azure. In this video, we're specifically going to be deploying our .NET for Apache Spark app to Azure Databricks. Now, Azure Databricks is a fast, easy, collaborative, Apache Spark-based analytics platform optimized for Azure. It was designed in collaboration with the founders of Apache Spark, so you can really ensure that Azure Databricks takes the best of Databricks and the best of Microsoft to give us an optimized solution. So to start our deployment journey, I'm going to visit the Azure portal, which I can get to by just saying portal.azure.com. And the Azure portal is where all of my Azure resources are located and where I can start working with Azure Databricks. So I'm going to go ahead, and if I wanted to create a new Azure Databricks workspace, what I would do is say create a resource, go over to analytics, and then I can find Azure Databricks right here. And there's just a few steps that we would need to fill in to create a new Azure Databricks service, such as a name, choosing a subscription and a location, and what type of pricing tier we want to use. But I already have an Azure Databricks service created, so I'm going to go to my resource groups, open up my resource group. When I scroll down, I can find that I have an Azure Databricks service right here. So what I'm going to do is just click Launch Workspace so that I can see what all is included in my Azure Databricks workspace. So it's signing me into Azure into Databricks right here. And now we can see all the functionality that Azure Databricks has to offer, such as creating new notebooks and new tables and clusters and jobs. So in order to start working with Azure Databricks, I need to have a few different credentials set up. So I'm going to open up a new command prompt. And in order to install and work with those credentials, I need to actually have Python installed. So I'm going to double check to make sure I have Python installed. And I can see that I have Python 3.7.4. So I'll just exit out of that. And now next, I need to install the Databricks CLI, or command line interface. And I can do that using pip3, which stands for Python 3, or a way to install Python 3 libraries. pip3 install Databricks CLI. Now, I've already installed the Databricks CLI. So in my case, we can see that I get requirement already satisfied. And just to double check that everything installed correctly, I'll run the Databricks command. After successfully installing the Azure Databricks CLI, I want to go ahead and actually authenticate. So this is how I'm going to log into my workspace and deal with jobs and clusters. So what I can do to make sure that I have all of my authentication credentials set up is I can run Databricks configure token. So now we can see that it wants to start off by entering a Databricks host, which should begin with HTTPS. So in our case, if we look at the URL, we can see that we have HTTPS East US2. Okay, so I'm gonna say HTTPS. And East US2 is the location I had chosen during creation of my Azure Databricks service. AzureDatabricks.net. Okay, so we have the host information set up. Now we need to enter a token, which is a special identifying string that'll allow us to log in and connect to our Databricks workspace. So what I can do to get that token is I'll go back to my workspace, and then I'm going to click on Account and User Settings. I'll say Generate New Token, and I can call this one is for the exciting 101 video. And we can just leave it as a lifetime of 90 days. I'll say generate here, and then I'm going to copy this token, I'll go back to my command prompt and paste it in here where it asked for a token. So now we successfully have our authentication credentials set up, and so we'll be able to access information in our Azure Databricks workspace. So now that we've successfully authenticated into our Azure Databricks workspace, it's time to download some of the files that we'll need for executing and running our Spark app. So I'm going to go ahead and go to github.com/.NET/Spark, which is the repository for .NET for Apache Spark. The couple of files that I need can be found within the deployment folder here. So first, I'm going to need dbinit.sh, which will help me with my Databricks submission. So I'll click on that. I can say raw, and then I'll right-click in here and say save as. And I'll just be able to save that script somewhere in my computer. And we'll want to remember where we saved it on our computer for later. I can see that I already have it saved, so I'm not going to save it again in this case. After dbinit, we also need installworker.sh, which will also be another helper script for installing and running dependencies and path files with our cluster. So I can say raw, right-click, save as, and then I would also be able to save that script here. So now when I go back, now that I have my two helper scripts that I need, there's one other file that I need from this GitHub repository. So I scroll down on this deployment page, I can see a link to the Microsoft Spark Worker. And now the Microsoft Spark Worker is going to determine what version of .NET for Apache Spark and what version of .NET Core is going to be used when we're running our application. So in this case, it would be using .NET Core App 2.1, which also works with .NET Core App 2.2, and it would be using Apache Spark or .NET Apache Spark version 0.4.0. Now, even if you're on a Mac OS or a Windows machine like I am, you want to make sure that you install the Linux version because the clusters that we're going to be using are going to run on Linux. So you would just go ahead and click this, and it would let you download the .NET Core App 2.1 and .NET for Apache Spark 0.4.0 Linux version of the Microsoft Spark Worker release. So now that I've downloaded all of the necessary files and scripts from the GitHub repository, I can go ahead and publish my Spark app. So I'll go ahead and open a new command prompt, and I'm going to navigate to my Spark app. Now the command I need to run is rather long, so I have it saved over here. So I paste this in here. We can see that I'm running a publish command, and I'm going to be using .NET Core App 2.2, and I'm going to be using Ubuntu, which I want to use some version of Linux since, again, my clusters are going to be using Linux. So I'll submit that. So now that my app has been successfully published, I can go ahead and in the File Explorer, I'll locate where my app is. And then I just need to go to the bin release .NET Core App 2.2. I can see here I have this great folder where I can see that's the type that I published to. And then I have a publish folder here. And if we open up that publish folder, we can see that it's a lot of the dependencies and files that my application needs to run. So when we want to run our application in the cloud or on Azure Databricks specifically, our cluster is going to need all of these files, all of this information. So what I'm going to do is right-click on this publish folder, and I'll say send to compressed zip folder. And this will compress and zip up all of the files that our application will need to run in the cloud. And we can see here we have publish.zip created in our apps directory. Okay, so now that we've zipped up our published app files and we've downloaded all the dependencies we needed from the GitHub repository, we can go ahead and upload all of those files our app needs to run to Azure Databricks. And how we're going to do that is copy them to the Databricks file system, or DBFS. So in order to do that, I have some commands set up already. So I'm going to start off by going back a level in my directory. And then first, what I want to do is copy over all of those files that I'd gotten from the GitHub repository onto the Databricks file system. So I'll right-click to paste them. And we can see that I've already uploaded these files, so it's telling me that resource already exists. But if you haven't already uploaded these files, you wouldn't see that message. But we can see that the structure of these commands in order to upload files to Databricks is we say Databricks, FS, which stands for file system, CP for copy, and then the name of the file, and specifically the location where we're uploading it onto the on the Databricks file system. So right now I uploaded the two helper scripts that I needed, which were db init and install worker, and I also uploaded the Microsoft Spark worker release. Next, what I need to do is upload the input file to my app. So I'm still using input.txt. So I'm going to go ahead and copy over input.txt to the Databricks file system. After doing that, there's a couple more files I need to upload, but we're almost done. I'm going to go ahead and upload the jar file for my app. And you may have noticed if you've seen the other 101.NET for Apache Spark videos that whenever we call spark-submit, we always have to have the jar file to our app. So we want to make sure to upload the jar file to the Databricks file system. And finally, I'm also uploading publish.zip, which is that zipped file that we had just created once we published our .NET Core app. Now that we've uploaded all of the files to Azure Databricks that we needed to run our program, we can go ahead and actually start creating the Spark job. So I'm going to go back to my Azure Databricks workspace, and I'm going to create a new job. I'll say create job here. Let me just exit out of that download. And I can give my job any sort of name. So I'll say my great video job. So first I'm going to configure Spark Submit. And fortunately, I also have that command already prepared. And when I paste that in here, we can see that it contains all of the same components that we usually have when running a spark-submit command locally on our own machine. So you can see we have the .NET runner, we have the path to the jar file, but now in this case, we also have the published app files through publish.zip. And we also have the name of our program, which is My Spark App. So we can go ahead and confirm that. So now I'm going to go ahead and modify our cluster, which contains all those worker nodes that are going to be executing individual tasks or smaller chunks of our user program. So I'm going to go to Advanced Options, and then Init Scripts. And within this, I need to go ahead and put in the path to dbinit, which is the script necessary to just get things started to run an Azure Databricks .NET for Apache Spark app. So earlier, when I had uploaded the dbinit to the Databricks file system, I had used the path spark-.net-db. init.sh. I will say add here, and I've successfully added my DB or Databricks initialization script to my cluster, and I can hit confirm. So now that I've configured settings for my cluster and spark-submit, I can go ahead and run my Spark job. So I'll say run now. And we can see now the first run of my great video job has begun. Now it'll take about 5 minutes for this job to complete. So now we can see that our job has completed running, and we can see that its status is succeeded. So let's go ahead and click on logs. And we can see the standard output from our job, and we can see it's what we had expected. When we had first created My Spark app, it was a simple word count application, and we can see that we got that word count table in our output log here. Thanks for joining me in this video, where we deployed a .NET for Apache Spark application to Azure Databricks. Be sure to check out the other .NET for Apache Spark 101 videos to learn even more about the world of big data analytics within the .NET ecosystem.